Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of Wim Hof Wednesdays. This is the 25th episode, and we have my friend who I did the master's module with, and someone who owns his own retreat center, a man who I admire, honor, and he has a lot to say because he worked in the construction industry, knows a lot about stress, and he also knows how to relieve stress and to calm down. His major goal in life is to help people live life in a fun, loving way, and using the Wim Hof method as one of the angles and the channels to get that as a vessel. Today, he's going to be sharing not only his juicy secrets and ideology of what a retreat center can bring to the table, but also open the table for everyone to ask questions. On top of all of that, he is proud to say that he's a father and a great man to just share with the world today who he is. So please get your right hand and your left hand and give it up for our friend, Brynjar Odison.
Woohoo!
Welcome.
Thank you for this nice introduction. So, I want to keep it a bit different. I wanted to, also one of the goals in my life is helping people realizing that life should be lived from inside out, because I want to tell you a little story about how I became the owner of this retreat center, and how I completely changed my life. Because like you said, my background was in construction. I am educated as a, what you would call in English, in constructing engineering and architectural design. So this is two completely different worlds. Is anyone else hearing an echo?
No.
Okay.
Slightly, but it's slightly, really low. Yeah.
Okay. Where to begin? As I said, with living life from the inside out, and I want to tell you about my surrender experiment to life in creating the dream life I always wanted, and how the universe really responds to that. So I was really, really burnt out. I was always doing and learning what I thought I had to do, what society told me to do, you know, go to school, go to work, do this, do that. But it never ever gave me any pleasure. And that kept on for years, because my education took 8 years. I worked in this field for 15 to 20 years. And when I finally decided that I wanted something different for myself and completely, and I mean completely surrendered to it, the universe just opened the floodgates of opportunities and giving me the chance to live the life that I really, really wanted. So it happened very, very fast. When I say surrender and let go completely, in my case, that meant quitting my job. And that's not an easy thing to do, because, you know, I invested thousands of dollars in student loans, 8 years of university, and, you know, 15, 20 years working. And I remember I was so scared of taking that leap to make this transition and trust that everything would be just all right. But I decided, and I remember I had written down the email for my resignation letter, and I was just staring at it. And my wife said, "What are you doing? Aren't you going to send it?" I said, "Ah, I'm just waiting a little bit." And then she said something I never forget. If you want a life you never had before, then you have to do things that you never have ever done before. So when she said that, something clicked and I, boom, hit send. And taking that leap was really, really, really scary. Like I said, it's the feeling, you know, when I was thinking, okay, what the heck did you just do? And at the same time, it's like, you know, on a roller coaster, you know, go like, woo-hoo! And, you know, it just, it rushes out all these feelings. And at the time, I had nothing. I only had a vague idea what I wanted in life. I wanted to, you know, be creative. I wanted to meet a lot of new people, know a lot of new people. And I just wanted to help people and do something completely different. And I can't go into all the details what it was like, but when you surrender to the universe, he works fast. Because this was the end of February, it was the last day of February, I sent my resignation letter, and in then it was a week, 10 days, you know, nothing happened, nothing, yeah. But then out of the blue, my wife had a phone call, and there was this guy she knows here in Denmark. I didn't know him at all. And he had been talking about her and something, blah, blah. And this guy who owns this retreat center asked if we could buy this retreat center. And I was like, what? And we went out to see it March 16th. And 6 weeks later, we were moved out. So when you surrender and you really surrender to the universe and you know what you want, you let it know your wishes, he works fast, and you have to, of course, take action yourself. So that was just a little story of how I ended here with my retreat center.
Thank you so much for sharing that story, man. That's super vulnerable, and I appreciate that. I think everyone got a little getting inspired from that. But I hope I didn't cut you off. I just wanted to thank you.
No. Yeah. Please cut me off.
No. I was you took us on a journey. And I think that we are definitely interested in what you've been doing with the retreat center, but to know how you got there and also to feel you on that journey and to take people on that next step, because it's not only what you're doing, what you did, it's also many of us. I mean, Hugh, you're fresh out the kitchen as a new instructor, and you know you're taking that leap right now. And anyone watching this video also may have just taken this leap, or you may want to get back into teaching, you know. So this is really, really amazing stuff. And taking that leap, and you gave us great tips about how the universe will help. I mean, we have to put in the hard work, we have to get messy, yeah. But it will help us, and you're living proof of that. But thank you so much for the story.
Yeah, because we all, you know, I started reading some books, you know, books like, you know, You Are a Badass and a lot of other books about, you know, these self-help personas.
Absolutely. And
you see them online.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were saying?
I think we had a delay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. Where was I?
The self-help books.
I was at the time. I was also reading a lot of these books, and you know, when I decided to implement what I was reading and doing, it really worked. It doesn't just it happens to the ordinary of us, and I also suggest when you are putting together a retreat or a workshop, it's essential that you believe in what you're doing. The universe has your back. Like you said, Francesco, of course, you do all the hard work and everything, but when your motives are genuine, you believe in what you're doing, you will always get the results you want, or even better.
Wow. Thank you so much, Odin. Yeah, seriously, that is powerful stuff. And especially the part that you said, believe in. If you have to believe in 100% in order for anyone else to believe in it. It's just like being an instructor, I fell off the daily habit of breathing ever since I moved. And, it's kind of hard for me to promote it as much, but I still believe in it 100%, but not to the same effect as practicing it every day. And being so conscious that, hey, I could fall. I'm human like everyone else. So I can go 400 days in a row of the breathing and then I fall off, but I still believe in the method that I want to give out to the world. And I think being in the same position as our participants sometimes is amazing, and believing it and then making sure that they understand how much you believe it so they can start believing it is a powerful tool too. So thank you for sharing. But you have this retreat center, and I know that you did an event with Tim van der Vliet, and we spoke a little bit about it, and you said that it was amazing, extraordinary, and it was natural and authentic and beautiful. You want to share a little bit about not only your event with Tim van der Vliet, but maybe events in general from, maybe wherever you'd like to take it.
Yeah. The weekend with Tim was, like I said, it was great. And he was on the second episode, I think. And I remember him saying, trust the process, trust the process. And what I found out when he came over here, he was talking about, you have to trust the universe, trust the process. He was talking about that too. And he also said, when you are starting to be a Wim Hof instructor, book 4 classes a month. So that's what I have just done now. From April to June, I have booked, of course, at my place, 12 fundamental courses over the next 3 months. So, and that was also a big leap for me to do that, to, stand on my own 2 feet with my own workshops. A lot of you have done it. I have not done it self before. And I don't know what I can say about retreats. I reckon everyone has gone to a retreat. Is there something specific maybe you want to know about, logistics or what to do, what to not to do?
No, just before we get into that, I want to just say, it's really nice that you share that, and especially with you being here too. We finished in September, and it took me many months to do my first event. And right now, Odin just admitted that it's also it took him a while to get to this point to book all these events. And it's funny because Tim told us in October, just throw the events on the website, throw it on your social media, message all your friends and family, and then it'll start rolling. And I think that that advice has stuck with me the most, because I've been recently putting it online as well for my online breathing sessions. And even if it doesn't catch fire in the first 2-3 weeks, whatever, it's still putting yourself out there. So thanks for the reminder from that episode, but also for letting the people who are hearing this that, hey, put it out there, go on the website, put on the dates that you're 100% sure you could do it. And whether you get 2 or 20, you put yourself out there. That's the most important. So thank you for sharing that. And when it comes to the retreat center, I mean, I'd like to open the stage for everyone to ask questions when it comes to retreat centers. And if you want to do a retreat, whether a weekend or even a 1-day event, what are your questions that you have for Odin or for Brynja that you feel could be helpful for your future event?
I am interested in, you know, I guess the structure of your retreat center. I guess you have housing, you have a kitchen, your food service. Are you doing Wim Hof weekends? Or are you right now you're doing the fundamental classes, and are you still leveraging, you know, parts of the amenities that you offer at the retreat center? Yeah, I'd like to find something similar here, you know, not far from Atlanta in the mountains. But I'm just curious about how the whole setup is organized.
Yeah. I have the whole shebang. Housing, I can house. We have made up beds for 52 or 53 people. We have a professional kitchen. I have another building outside where the workshop area is. I have a hot tub, I have a sauna, and I have, of course, some cold tubs. We do anything, everything for the customer. He just have to show up with his guests.
Are you renting out the retreat center to other organizations that want to come in and do weekend retreats?
Yeah. I have actually now a group of 32 people here. So, and we are quite busy.
Seems like that'd be a big part of obviously making something like that successful is getting other groups to utilize it.
Yeah, of course, because I can't have Wim Hof retreats all the time. but it is one of my goals to make this center of mine the place for the Wim Hof method here in Denmark. So when you think of Wim Hof method, then you automatically link it to Inspiration Center.
That's amazing. And I have a question for you regarding the, well, thanks Don for your question. And again, everyone get some of your questions ready. When it comes to your center, you have a lot of personalities and people who need to run an event there. What would you say is something you're hoping for and you're wishing for in a client? So if I'm looking to use your retreat center for a Wim Hof retreat, what are you really hoping for as far as a communicator, a personality, and someone that you're basically collaborating with?
Yeah, that's, you know, be honest about your wishes. Don't ever assume something is at the location that it isn't. Be open what you want. Open communication. That's, I would say number one. And also just be a nice person. Always be nice to the people that make your food.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, did I ask that?
Yeah, it's perfect. That's exactly I think that's something to be aware of, open communication, letting everything be on the table. Where's the ice coming from? Where everything food? Is it vegan? I think all the details and being honest about that and say, hey, can I expect that? And you could be honest saying, no, you can't expect everything that is on that list, that 100 list, you know, numbered list. So that's really good to know.
Yeah. I remember Bart Prunk, he said one time, he was doing a retreat at some location, I don't remember where, and he thought he got it all right and blah, blah, blah. And when he came, there was no place at all where he could get water. So they didn't have that. So you have to, you know, always be sure you have everything down to the last detail that you want.
I wonder what he did. Imagine he had to like get buckets and walk.
Yeah, they had to do it. They had to do that somehow. But yeah.
Well, cool. Thank you. Thank you so much for answering that. How about you, Patrick? I know you had some questions regarding Iceland. How about what your imagination is for your retreat? I can't hear you for some reason.
I can't hear him, yeah.
Still no microphone.
Maybe it's connected to another mic. Perhaps.
Yeah.
I can hear something, but
you heard him earlier, right?
Yeah, earlier it did, but right now it sounds like you hear something, but it doesn't come through 100%.
It's showing as muted by your name.
Let me try.
Maybe I could ask a question.
Yeah, please.
That's okay. Here you go.
Thank you.
Oh no, go ahead, Patrick. No, maybe I didn't catch the full story. I'm curious about for most of us, I suppose we don't have. It sounds like an amazing center, and congratulations. It sounds fantastic, and I can really see the pride in what you've built, and that's so great to hear. And you know, as I said before, I'm completely fresh off the boat, as it were.
Congratulations.
Thanks. I feel
you're welcome.
Thank you. And thanks for creating this beautiful space as well to share. I'm quite interested in this idea of just booking events and just seeing what happens. And one of the guidance we got is, look, if one person comes, one person comes. And there was quite a funny story of, because there's quite a few in Barcelona now, and previously there weren't. And they had two participants and three instructors, and they had loads of fun, and they were, you know, super glad they did it that way. But in terms of, you know, getting things started, when booking these for a month, maybe there's some kind of logic behind exactly why one a week. It just sounds like quite a nice number. But would you say it's crucial to have all of the details arranged beforehand in terms of, okay, this is definitely all of the locations for, let's say you want to book a quarter in advance, or would you say you can figure certain things out as you go in terms of location and logistics if you don't have somewhere that you can rely on a weekly basis, for example? What do you think about that?
Yeah, if you have found a place, just book it. And you know, and you have to, of course, it depends how busy the place is, but usually we get bookings many months in advance. And in some cases, with our biggest clients, they book 2 years ahead. So you want to have, you know, look ahead. And And when you book it, you say, let's say, you know, I don't know, 5-6 months ahead, then you don't have to have everything worked out. We have a rule here. When it's about 1 month earlier, we start to make contact. You know, food, how many, you know, of course, they can come more in the last month, but you know, approximately how many, and, you know, all the logistic things. We have learned to, you know, just start a conversation and ask, what are your needs? Do you need this? Do you need this? Do you need this? And that's just because, I like to work in that way, to, you know, always be one step ahead. I want to deliver. So I'm actually trying to help people realize their needs. But I suppose not everyone does that. So does that answer your question, or?
Yeah, for sure it does. The reason I ask is just because when I before I decided to do the instructor course, I felt I visited a retreat center and I, you know, without really knowing what I was doing, they said, oh, does anyone want to contribute something? It was a very kind of casual self-organized retreat. And I was like, well, I've been trying this Wim Hof breathing stuff with some friends, so I can lead a session. No problem. You know, looking back, I broke many rules, but I hadn't signed up to the course. So I have plausible deniability. and then the guys who owned it were like, oh yeah, we really love Wim Hof method. We've been doing ice baths and we want to do more stuff like this. And, you know, then I was like, okay, well, let's do something. And it's funny what you said before about, I felt like that was one of the first moments in my life where I really just surrendered and just cleared the shit out of the way. And then everything just kind of happened. But
yeah,
it was such a short time frame. I had no experience. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. Never organized a retreat, and it went really well.
Yeah.
And then I had a meeting with, done the training, and they were like, well, we want to do something once a month at this specific place. I was like, that sounds great. I'd love to do that.
That's awesome.
So I was just thinking, okay, well, let's just do it and figure it out. But then the rest of it, obviously once a month's not enough to kind of start practicing and really getting out there, but it's definitely something, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity. But yes, anyway, so it definitely answers the question. Good to have, but I think because the last time I did it, I tried to arrange everything in 3 weeks, food, guests, how to get there, figuring out the location, buying the ice bath, getting the ice delivered from nothing was quite stressful with a, you know, normal 9-to-5 job and other projects as well. So, it was good to jump in at the deep end, though.
Yeah.
Seems like that's what you did. You just, I love it. I think that's inspirational. Awesome. And that could be a message for everyone else out there. Just put yourself out there. And I mean, we're going to make mistakes. When I first started riding a bike, I fell. I remember vividly. And, you know, my uncle, my dad were there like, just try again. And they didn't even put a helmet on me. Now that I'm thinking about it, that's wrong. They didn't even put a helmet on me.
But you didn't use helmets.
But I survived, and I love riding a bike. I still ride a bike. But the point is that we're going to get messy. And normally the people who do participate and who do want to come to these events are forgiving for those small, let's say, faults or imperfections. And sometimes it makes it even more authentic and charming because we're like, hey, we're going with the flow and we're learning, but putting yourself out there. I do have another question for you, Odin. I hope it's not a weird one, but let's say I do call a retreat center. Is it weird to negotiate the price? Is that something that you are, is it frowned upon saying, hey, this is my budget. Can you work with this? Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah.
Tell me how you feel about that.
It depends. It depends. Okay, normally, the short answer is just flat no.
Okay, so you're set price.
Yeah, I of course I have a price for everything to work. I have, 10, 15 people working here, plus me and my wife. And this is a huge house, and it has to pay, the bills and everything. So but that doesn't mean that I'm not willing to do something and cut off the price if I how do I put it, if I like the person, I like the what he's doing, what he's planning, it depends.
Yeah. But also, can someone contact you and say, this is my budget, and would you say, let's see what we could do with that? Is that something, because you're gonna get different
I could see that. Then I would suggest, okay, you can come off season.
Okay.
Because usually we are fully booked. We are crazy busy. So, but we have off seasons, and then maybe we can make something happen.
Yeah. And being a retreat center owner, you must have seen so many, I don't know, what's the best word I can use, just extraordinary events and so many different events.
Yes.
You want to touch up on that and how much you've seen?
Yeah, I could do that. Right now, it is quite a big group, 32 people. It's a silent meditation retreat. So I have to be careful with being silent. And the real challenge is, because my daughter is 1.5 years old, to keep her silent. So, yeah, we've seen all kinds of retreats. And the most fun are the Tantra retreats. There are personalities there.
You had to drink for that.
Yes.
You literally had to take a sip for that. I was like, whoa, let me.
Yeah. You have to be very comfortable with the naked free people around you in all kind of costumes, and it's really fun. I love this job. I love what I'm doing.
Wow.
So I see, I meet so many different people. And when people come to a retreat, they have their lea hjálpa mig, hvernig segir maður spariskapi sinni, eða þú veist, þau eru upp á sitt besta, skilur þau, þau eru ekki eins og heima hjá sér.
You got that, guys? You understood that, Icelandic, for...
my English is teasing me. When you come to a retreat, you always have your best mood on.
Yeah, yeah.
You're away from home. You're doing something for yourself. And, you're smiling. You're making loving contacts. And, It's always a blissful, surroundings here,
right.
With connection and people, it's just really good energy to be in.
And you're constantly around that, new faces, new energy. Yes. On a weekly basis. Yeah, it's kind of makes me, I want to hang out. I want to hang out there.
Yeah, you're going to come.
Thank you so much. Yeah, this is great. And thank you for answering the question regarding it's not so much about negotiating. It's about basically telling retreat centers, wherever, let's say I do it, or anyone who's listening to this would want to do it, and say, hey, this is my budget. Do you work with that? And you'll be honest, like, hey, not really. And especially if it doesn't line up with their vision or what they appreciate. So yeah. It's good to know. But yeah. And how about
add a small thing to that, because I had a really nice opportunity to spend a bit of time as a volunteer in quite a high-end retreat center nearby where I live just at the end of last year. It was a place to kind of just really study on the Wim Hof while I was there. And they had it wasn't Tantra, but it was called de-armoring, which is very intense self-work. Yeah, so
we also have that. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, sure. So lots of yelling and screaming. But I guess it depends on the center to answer your question as well, because some might be able to scale things up or down. If you need 50 people, full catering. If you need 10 people, sleeping in tents, you know, different places can do different things, I suppose. So, you know, there's so much. Some places can't do that, right? If you're in the middle of nowhere and you have 15 permanent staff who, you know, with a kitchen and that's always part of it, then it's different than if somewhere can say, well, I can hire 3 chefs or I don't have to if you don't need that. So I'd suppose there was some flexibility, but as a retreat owner, you also want to provide a great experience and you have kind of minimum things that you want.
Yeah. But this I know about centers that do that, and I would do that in certain cases. I could rent out my location without any staff, any food. You would just have to take care of it by your own. That could also be a possibility. And you just have no service. You have to do the whole thing.
Yeah, that would be
also quite cheaper.
But it doesn't hurt to ask. I guess that the end of it all is doesn't hurt to ask.
Never hurts to ask.
That's good to know. Cool. Well, yeah. I mean, we have Leah. Do you have anything you would like to ask before we wrap up with my question for Odin?
Maybe not so much of a question, but I just think it's interesting. Maybe we should generate a list of, you know, Wim Hof friendly centers around the world.
Yeah.
Wow. I think that would be really helpful to do. And maybe have a list of saying, you know, they can provide the ice or they have a place for X amount of people to do the cold dipping at once or, you know, something like that. It would be nice to, if we could, you know, start a little list just among ourselves.
I'm writing that down. That's a really, really good idea because if you're in Barcelona, then you know you don't want to do a retreat center there. It's a retreat there. It's so amazing, that idea. And it could be where we all could just find it. Like, hey, I want to do one in South Africa. Then you already have that place that knows about the retreat, knows how it works. That's an excellent idea. I'm going to see what I can do with that.
So the one in Denmark at top.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, and by the way, guys, this Odin's or Brynja's center will be linked to this. So check out his place and know that you can ask him any questions. He's happy to help. He's obviously here to help. And asking him questions would be something that he would love to do. So with that being said, I do have a last question for you. And when it comes to your events, the one that you just did the weekend, what is your hope, your intention for your participants at the end? Like, what do you want them to leave with? And hopefully that'll stick with them.
Yeah, first of all, the reason I got into this Wim Hof being a Wim Hof instructor, because I want everybody to feel what I feel, what I felt the first time I did the breathing. I did not know what happened. I would say that would be the first thing. To me, it was divine. So I would like them to get that experience and leave with the knowledge they are able to do whatever they want. And, you know, they have the powers within them to you know, feel that and connect to the universe and to yourself.
That's amazing. And that's really, really great. I think that's what we all hope for too, is just something that they can take with them and know that it feels right for a reason. So continue to do the Wim Hof method. And also just know that we have a community here, guys. The Wim Hof Wednesday is for people that are passionate about what they do, like Odin, Brynjar, and also getting better.
yeah, okay.
The idea is to collaborate and to share and to know that we're not alone, because for me, for instance, I'm literally in the middle of the Indian Ocean by myself as a Wim Hof instructor. But here, when we do this online and we have someone who we can ask, whether it's Brynjar or anyone, we are here for each other. So every week, we're trying to do this every week, same time, same place, same link, without a doubt, to support each other and having guest speakers share their superpower, their wisdom that they have. Next week, we'll let you know who we're going to have. And Hugh, Don, Leah, Patrick, I know you're gone. Thank you for being our guest. For everyone watching, thank you for listening. And a big, big, big thank you to our friend Odin, who put his time, his passion, and his energy in sharing his vulnerable story about how he took the jump and left a safe, consistent paying job to buy a place in Denmark, another country, and start a new life. And could you say that you're happy about it?
Couldn't be happier.
That's amazing. With that being said, can we all just please do the same old thing, get your right hand, your left hand, and bang them together for Odin. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you so much.
With that being said, we're going to wrap up. And next
one
week.
Please. Next week. Are you going to say who's on next week?
No, we're gonna leave people in suspense until next week.
Okay. then I'm just gonna real quick. Leah, okay, like I want to say, you var að fara að hringja. Ég kominn til Íslands á páskana. Við erum að hittast í kaffi.
Já, verum bara. Ég heyri þér á morgun.
Yes.
Okay.
Jú.
Takk fyrir.
Okay.
That's Icelandic for Wim Hof method rocks.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, everyone, have a wonderful evening or day, wherever you are, and see you next week.
See you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Have a great day. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.